What's up, guys? Welcome to Demo with Mo. I'm your host, Monique Simmons. We'll be discussing dating, engaged, and married objectives from a young Christian's perspective. Are you guys ready? Let's dive in. What's up, guys? Welcome to a new episode of Demo with Mo. I am your host, Monique Simmons. And tonight, I have something special in store for you guys. I have invited some wives that I personally know onto the podcast episode, and we're really just going to have a great conversation and a good time. I hope you guys are ready. I'm going to dive right in. I'm not going to hold you up any longer, and I'm going to have each lady introduce themselves. If you guys can give your name, your age, and how long you have been married.
My name is Keisha, Markeisha Williams to be exact. I am 32 years young and I have been married for 8 years and 4 months.
I'm Amy Grant. I'm 32 years old as well. And I've been married for, it'll be 8 years in September. Almost eight.
Okay, welcome, ladies. I am so glad to have you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on tonight. First of all, the fact that you guys are the same age and been married almost the same amount of time. That's so cool.
Right?
That's so cool. And I didn't know that, y'all. I did not know that. Okay, so we're going to dive right in. Tell me about yourself, but don't include your husband or your children.
Ooh, that was what I struggled with in my bio.
And look,
like, who am I?
and this is sort of like an icebreaker because I think this is hard for us as women. That's why I'm glad we're going to have this conversation tonight, because we get so caught up in being a wife and a mom that we forget who we are outside of those things. So yeah, tell me something about you.
Oh my goodness.
I can go. So I'm a planner. I plan events. I design events. That's something I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
I am an encourager. I am a friend. This is hard not to say mom and wife.
I know.
It's so much of who I am, but I guess it's really hard to think outside of it. So yeah, I'll just say I'm a planner and I love living life. I'm a very lively individual.
Okay. All right. And that is Amy.
This is Keisha. And I would say that I am most definitely a hustling individual.
Okay.
I'm a motivator. I'm a good friend. I love to read. This is one of my books that I'm working on now. Sarah J. Roberts, Woman Evolve.
You know, are you enjoying it?
I am. So far, okay. Yes. I am loving it. I love books. Outside of that, I'm a teacher assistant. I started out in special needs because my daughter is autistic. So that kind of inspired me to do that. Well, she was really the reason why I got the job, actually. But now they have me in general classes in this fourth grade. So y'all pray for me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But that's just a little bit about me.
Okay, awesome. I think y'all did pretty good. Yay.
Okay, that's
good. So next time somebody asks y'all that, y'all will be ready.
Yeah, that was hard.
Right.
Okay, so the next question is, how did you meet your husband?
Well, this is Keisha. My husband and I, we met through an old friend, and it kind of was like, I was not interested at first. I was like, oh, girl, what are you doing? He was busted up, and I'm just like, I was like, no, this is not my cup of tea. So I turned it down. The first time, we kind of like dabbed it up, like, okay, nice to meet you, whatever. Y'all, I think this is where this, like, it was meant to be, because, like, a week later, when we saw each other in Metro Cinema,
okay,
it was up and popping. He was like, I was just sitting there with my firstborn and I was eating lunch by myself and he approached me. He was like, so, you ready now? I'm gonna get your number. I'm gonna take you out this, that, and the other. And I was like, okay, let me just give it a try. Cause like, it's just not even, it's a coincidence that we run into each other again. And from that point on, it was like, we have not been departed since.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm kind of glad that I saw him again.
I bet you did. Talking about he busted up. And now that busted up man is your husband.
Right. Ooh, made me eat all those words.
It's really crazy because our story is very similar where my husband was very persistent and we went to the same high school, but I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. And so kind of after the fact, I think he found me on Facebook and I did see that we had like a lot of mutual friends and I could connect him to different people. So it's kind of like we knew of each other, but that was about it. Yeah. When he reached out, I was just so not interested. I just remember like, what does he want? Like, we went to the same school. Why now? Like, I just had the weirdest thoughts about him. And honestly, I gave him the runaround for a while. Like, I remember certain times that we were supposed to meet and I just never fell through. Like, but he is a very persistent man and he's been that way from the beginning. So here we are.
Eventually. I love it. I love it. Both of you ladies have some persistent men. Yeah. That's right. Don't give up, man. Okay, so let me ask you guys this. What do you like most about your husband?
This is Keisha, and I'm going to tell y'all what I love about this man.
Oh, I like it, girl. I like it.
Energy.
Yes.
He's such a provider. Like, oh my goodness. Like, I've never experienced nothing like this. I think that's why I'm so attracted to him, because I'll just give y'all this story. Okay, it's okay. A quick story. Okay, so y'all remember when this snowstorm came through a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Okay, my husband, he loves to fish, he loves hunting, he loves anything that is outdoors. I don't care what it is, he loves it. So a lot of people around here didn't have, you know, like, well, our neighbor ran out of food. Girl, we went in our deep freezer, we had fish for days, we had deer sausage for days, deer sausage, any kind of way you wanted, we had it, and it was enough for us to share. So I was like, this is the time where I'm like, oh my God, like, you did it. Like, look at you. I love that about him, you know. Yeah. It started out as a thing that I just despised because he would be gone from sun up to sun down. But now I'm like, okay, he is doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And thank God for that.
Okay. I'm here for that. I'm here for it.
Well, this is Amy. And what I love most about my husband is that he is not prideful when it comes to doing what he has to do in regards to me.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of men who are, you know, really prideful and really macho. And what I love about him is he's that way with everybody but me.
Yeah.
I get the softest version of him. And he really does not care how it makes him look. If it's got something to do with me, he's going to get to it. And he, over the years, because we got married so young, I just remember like certain jobs, like I'm going to keep it real with you. Like, he has done certain jobs that I would never do. But when it comes to providing for me and making sure that, you know, I get the things that I need, he is very much, you know, I will go do whatever I need to do so that you can have what you need. And I really admire that about him, that he'll lay down any pride to make sure I'm good.
This is so beautiful.
That is. That's sweet.
Oh my goodness. I wish your husbands could see you guys' faces as you're talking about them. Like, I'm not your husband. I'm not married to you, but I'm over here like, ooh.
You're crazy.
Man. I wish they could see y'all. Okay, let me ask y'all this. So this is, both of you guys have been married 8 years or almost 8 years. How old were you when you got married?
Amy, I was 22, turning 23.
Got you.
Yeah. I was no more than 23.
Okay.
This is Keisha. I think I was around about the same age.
Oh, yeah, because we're about the same
age. Oh, you guys are. Sure are. You
we got married around the same time and we're the same age.
I think it was around the same time. Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
So we was young.
I met my husband in 2012. We got married in 2014.
We all have that in common because I was 21 when I got married. So yeah.
Wow.
So cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you guys this, especially since we all got married at a young age. What has been the hardest thing for you personally in marriage?
I know for a fact the hardest part for me has been that over time, the person's going to change, right? The person I'm married to now is not the same person I married in 2014. And I am not the same woman he married in 2014. And that for me has been, that's been really hard. I think harder for me than him. Like there are certain things, you know, certain things I like to do. I'm very ambitious. I always have a lot going on. Whereas my husband is not as social as I am. He doesn't have a need to be out and do the things that I need to do. He doesn't have to stay in contact with people and network the way that I do. That's just not his life. Yeah. So I think to see him, to see me kind of change into a person who is pretty much on Front Street, like I'm an event planner. So all my stuff is out there. Like people have to be able to trust me. So I don't really have many secrets, you know, but for him, that is a lot. So, you know, just changing and learning how to cope with the differences in each over time. We grew up, you know, and we changed.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I can relate 100%, but that's good. Keisha, what about you?
Okay, so we're being honest. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm really trying to just find out what it is that Keisha likes to do or what makes Keisha happy, you know, outside my marriage. Not to say like I'm not happy within my marriage. It triggered me when the question came up in the bio, like, tell me something about yourself. And I kept, y'all just don't know how many times I went back and forth without like trying to not attach him and these kids. And I was like, dang, Keisha, you really don't know yourself. Like, so it's that balance. It's that me trying to find that and me trying to balance it all out. So it makes sense for me because I feel like, you know, and if I'm not right up here, I can't raise my kids right. You know what I'm saying? Or I can't be my best self for him if I don't know, you know, who I am outside of these.
Girl, that is so relatable for so many women. I just want to encourage you. You are not alone, honey. It is so many wives and moms who struggle with that.
I'm shaking. Oh my God.
You should feel good and liberated, honey, because that's why I started off with tell me about yourself, because so many of us struggle with that. Like, who am I outside of these people?
Right, right.
Wow.
Okay. So the next question is, how do you practically handle changes or transitions in marriage? Let's say you go from just dating your husband or just being the two of you guys to now you have a child or you start a new job or you evolve as a person, as Amy said. Now you're out here and you started this business and all of your business is kind of put on Front Street. That's a change. How do you guys handle changes or transitions in your marriage?
Okay, so this is Keisha. So for me, when me and my husband met, we started with one child, which was my child. So it wasn't, you know, biologically my son is not his. Mm-hmm. But we ended up, you know, we spent a lot of time together. Like the dates and the small things that like we did, we had so much time we were spending together, you know, starting out. So then another child came in. So it was cool. You know, we were still able to manage our date times and date nights and all that. So now, fast forward, we had two more kids. Baby, we be lucky we can get an hour in right now. And I miss that because I miss us just, you know, spending that quality time. So between both of us working and, you know, kids and life, it's like our date nights are like sometimes like zero to, I don't even know, like the last time we even had a date night. So I'm still struggling with it. And that's been like, it's been a minute. So I'm struggling with it right now. And plus we don't have support here for, you know, to help out with the kids so that we can say, you know, like, let's call a family member and say, let's go have a date night or something like that. We don't have that luxury. So it's kind of like, we got to take what we can get.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you guys have not had the chance of being able to date like you used to because you don't have the support like you used to. How have you guys been handling that? Because that is a big transition to be able to, one point used to go on dates all the time to now you guys barely find time for just the two of you. So how do you handle that? What have you guys been doing to kind of adjust to that?
You know, truthfully, we just been like, just going. Yeah. We just been going like, and of course, as a woman, it bothers me on the inside. But I'm knowing, okay, this is our reality. This is our life. This is how it's set up right now. So I cannot be mad about it. You know, it sucks. But we just roll with it, truthfully.
Got you. Got you. I appreciate that. Amy, mm-hmm. What about you?
So changes have been a really big part of our marriage, too. But more so career-wise, because we only have one son, he's 13. So we do have the luxury of having a little bit more freedom. And so that's kind of why I started my business. Yeah. And what I think the way I've learned to cope with it is I got humbled. And so I'm going to tell you the story about that.
Okay.
Basically, you know, when I started my business and things started going well, I had to talk to my husband because he was feeling neglected. He was feeling like, you know, certain things that I was doing for my family, I was very hands-on. I wasn't anymore. And I was coming from my day job straight home to my laptop to work on my dream. I was very much the 9 to 5 and then 5 to 9, I'm working on my dream. Like that's what I was doing. And he was feeling neglected and kind of pushed to the side. And so I had to work on that and start balancing my time better because my commitment to him is more important. So what I learned and how I got humbled is one thing about those tables, they always turn.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
One thing about those tables, they will turn. And so I think that I made the adjustments, but I think there was another lesson that I needed to learn too. And I have learned that. And so as soon as he got comfortable with me and my business, homeboy started taking off of his job. And so now he's getting promoted. And so now his hours are changing and he's unavailable for me as much as he, you know? And so just having that full circle feeling, it really kind of changed my perspective. And not only did it let me see how he was feeling, it also let me know that it's ever changing. And the grace that I was needing from him now, you know, it's vice versa. So I think that the way I cope with it now is just learning that we each have our turn and to not be so selfish when it's not my turn. So that's how I'm coping with it. I'm just like, well, I guess it's his turn. I guess it's my turn to work the late shifts and, you know, and come home and do dinner and get things together because he's been doing it for me for so long so that I could build what I wanted to build. So I think that's our thing now, just learning that it's going to change and it'll be my turn sooner or later.
That's good. OMG. That's okay. You guys who are listening, I hope you have heard the ladies. Two of the things that stood out to me that you said, Amy, which I think a lot of us in our marriages could really take hold of, is giving each other grace. A lot of times when changes happen and transitions happen, what usually happens is we get upset. And when we're upset, we usually take it out on the people that's closest to us. And that's our spouses. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of giving each other grace, I'm mad at you because you're not at home cooking dinner. Or I'm mad at you that we're not having date night and we're not spending time together. I'm mad. But now what we can do when these changes and these transitions happen, because that's the inevitable. That's life. Life is going to change. We're going to change. We're going to evolve. But what I can do is allow you grace. Okay, I see that my husband or my wife is really out here trying to live their dream. And right now, this just may be a season where she has to work late some nights, or he has to work overtime some days. But I know this is just a season. I know this is not the way it always will be. I know that his motive is not to neglect me. I know that his desires and his motives for me and our family are to provide and take care of us. And that's how we give each other grace, because we remember who the person we are married to. They're really not trying to hurt us. They're really not trying to neglect us. And it feels that way and it comes off that way. But grace says, who are you? You know, I know you love me. So let me respond to you in that way. Let me respond because I know this is a hard season for me. I do want to go on date nights. I want to be booed up with my man. But I know that he's trying to provide for us. I know that we have toddlers and young babies right now. But I also know that this is a season and we're going to come out of this. And then the other thing that you said is being able to support one another because the tables will turn. Marriages, it should be. Let me say this. Marriage should be a partnership where we are encouraging and supporting one another to be better, to be the best version of yourself. And sometimes that may be you. I may have to support you while you go back to school, while you try to live out your dreams, try to grow in your business, whatever that is for you. But on the same hand, it should be a time where you want to support me when I go out to be the best version of me. And that's what marriage should look like, a give and take, a sacrifice, extending that grace to one another. So I love you guys' responses on this question. Okay, next question is, what does a typical day look like for you? Walk me through it. Like when you get up in the morning, what do you do? How does your day look from when you get up to when you lay your head down at night?
This is Keisha. So I'm up on the weekdays. It's the same routine, but on Monday through Friday, I'm up as early as 5 a.m. I'm getting my hygiene together, and then I got to get these kids up. So I get myself dressed first. So okay. I can go ahead and, you know, I'm ready. But then okay. I cook breakfast, you know, and while I'm cooking breakfast, I'm praying, I'm talking to God, like that's our one-on-one time. And then after that, when the table is set, I'm going to get the kids up. That's up. So that's about like maybe around 5:30-ish or so. Kids eat breakfast. We all, you know, get dressed. I get them dressed afterwards. And after that, we on our way. I drop them off at daycare and school, and I'm headed to the schoolhouse. Once I get to school, afterwards, I pick everybody up. I go home.
Let me ask you this. Do you have to pick everybody up as soon as you get off work?
I don't have to because they being like, well, Olivia's in after school. Then my baby, she's in daycare.
Okay.
But I don't have to. It's just I do it to go ahead and get it out of the way, you know.
Okay.
But I should give myself a little time to breathe, you know, because I'm leaving kids and I'm getting right back to kids. But I just pick them up. I come home. I sit down for literally like maybe 10, 20 minutes before the shenanigans start. I'm hungry. What are we going to eat today? Homework, all that. And then, you know, let's get ready for bed. Let's eat dinner. Let's get ready for bed and all this and that. Then it's back to the routine.
So what time do you put the kids to bed?
Oh, bedtime. Everything shuts down at 8:00.
Okay. What time do you go to bed?
Oh, I'm in bed right afterwards. Like I'm not asleep, but I'm in bed. Like that's my time. Like that's my me time. Sometimes I'm like, depending on if I'm tired, I'm down like in 30 minutes. I'm asleep before 9:00. But if not, I'm just up, but I'm in the bed.
Okay. What about your weekends, Saturday and Sunday?
Oh, because my husband works on Saturdays. So I'm just up. I'm chilling, cooking breakfast. And, you know, sometimes I take the kids out to the park or we'll go and do something, you know, get out the house for a minute, you know, spend some time together. Then we'll come back home and eat dinner or we'll just sit around and just be hanging out. But I'm just like, girl, my kids are with me 24/7. But Sundays, we go to church. I'm not consistent as I should be or as I would like to be. But, you know, Sundays, I'm like, let me get my mind right for this week because I know it's hectic through the week for me.
Yeah, got you. Amy, what does your days look like?
So I get up around about 7. I get up. Honestly, I'm not a morning person at all. So my alarm goes off at 7, but I get out of bed at 7:15. Okay. And the reason I do that is to make sure my son heard his alarm at 7. So I'm up, I go check on him, make sure he's up and moving, make sure he takes the dog outside, stuff like that. I go back into my room. At this point, my husband is up moving around too. We do spend a couple minutes together in the mornings because he goes in later than I do most mornings. He doesn't have a set schedule. So there's some mornings where I get up, and he's already gone. And then there's other mornings where, you know, it's kind of like I'm describing now where he's there. And so I normally get ready and get myself ready to leave the house about 8. I like to get to my office at 8:30. Some days I do work from home. So it just depends on the day, to be honest. No 2 days in this house are the same. I will say that even during the week, like because my husband's schedule is different. Mine is different. My son is even busier than us sometimes with camp and just different stuff that he's doing. So this summer he's been in camp at the church. And so that's been great helping him to get to know different kids that are going to his new school because they mainly go to our church. So, and I head on to work. I work in the office until about 3-4 o'clock on my day job, which is running a call center and doing kind of marketing events, like vendor events for the company I work for. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. I leave the office like 3 or 4, might stop and if I need something from the grocery store, figure out what we're going to have for dinner. I get my baby. I go home. We let the dog out. My son normally goes out to play. He has a lot of friends in the neighborhood. So when we pull up, that's normally everybody's cue to come on outside. I'll go around and they get busy out there for an hour or so, him and the dog and everybody else who comes out. And I would normally be in the house just kind of, you know, I come home and just kind of dilly-dally. Like, I come home and start a load of laundry. I might, you know, this or that, straighten up this, wipe that, clean that, dust this. Like, just a couple little knick-knack things, you know? And I do a lot with my business during that time, too, because my son is out playing and it's still daylight. I still feel like working kind of. So I do a lot of emails, calls and stuff for my clients. And then I do dinner. If my husband gets off, he's normally rolling in around 5-6. If not, he's working a little bit later. Like tonight, he's working until maybe midnight this evening. So I cook, you know, me and my son, we kind of do our thing. And then I drift on off to sleep. And my son, he goes to bed around 9. Like, it's pretty much on a schedule, so he can pretty much get himself up and put himself to bed. But yeah, it's pretty relaxed. Like, it's busy, but it's relaxed at the same time.
Got you. Okay, ladies, how do you make time for yourself? Keisha, with the day you just painted me, honey, that's why I asked you, do you pick the kids up as soon as you get out? Because you,
I do, girl. It's something about that. It's something about leaving my kids in daycare too long. Just don't sit right with me. It's like I got to have, it's crazy because I feel like I tell myself, Keisha, let them stay there for a couple minutes. But then I'm like, oh, I got to have my eyes on my kids. Just don't. Like, I had to literally force myself at least once at the month to take a break. Like, just, I don't care if you just go to the nail shop. And I'm going to tell y'all how crazy, just, I'm so used to them being with me. I went to the nail shop one day. And I kept texting my husband, like, what the kids doing? Like, you know, like, and I'm like, I feel like I had to rush. I had to rush, like, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I could have stopped. When I left the nail shop, I could have stopped and got a milkshake. I could have stopped by the park and just sat there. But no, I rushed home. Like, I had something to do. Like, it's...
Let me ask you something. Because what you're saying sounds like a lot of women. For real, sounds like a lot of moms. Oh, yeah. Where do you think that comes from? Why do you think you respond that way? Like, you can't be without the kids for a little while. Do you feel bad?
I have mom guilt. Bad. It's bad. Like, I feel like I should always, you know, I don't know, be there. Like, I'm so, I guess because I'm so used to it too, because my husband, he drives trucks. So, like, with the work schedule, like I say, I'm always dropping them off. I'm picking them up. Like, I'm doing this. They're with me all the time. So, it's like, if I don't have eyes on them, I feel like I need to be, I could be at home like cooking, or I could be doing laundry, or I could be cleaning up, or I know it's something at home I gotta be doing. And it's something with these kids need me that I should be there. It's so weird because my friend girl, she laughed at me one day. She was like, Keisha, every time I call you, you cooking something. Like, how many meals you cooking today? I was like, I just cook. I don't know. I'm just used to it. I just do it. I'm like, I should be doing something. It's something I could be doing. But I do have my own guilt to answer your question.
And I think, and the only reason I'm staying on this, because I think there are a lot of people who are going to be listening to this who can relate to you 100%. Let me ask you this, because when we started off earlier, you said one of the hardest things about marriage is for you is remembering who you are, remembering what you love to do. Have you thought about that at all? Like what do you enjoy? Like what brings you happy outside of your husband and your children? You used to design. Are you still designing?
I don't. And the thing is, my machines are still there. And I open my closet every day and I just look at it like, oh my goodness, I wish I had the time to do this.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm just going to tell the truth. Like, I don't make time for it because I feel like I'm always having to do something for my family. So I look at it and I'm like, okay, I wish I could. Because you remember I was doing the candles too. And
yeah.
I don't know, y'all. I feel like I got to get myself together. I do.
Yeah. Okay, so I am big on practical application. What do you think you can begin to do to get you back to the place where you're doing those things that you enjoy?
I feel like because my kids are in, you know, when I get off, like I do have some time to myself. By the time I get off the bus, I do have like an hour and probably like 30 minutes to myself. I shouldn't even be rushing to get these kids the way I do. I just need to take that time out. I need to take that time out for myself and, you know, utilize it and do something that, you know, I'm interested in or I like doing.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, and not to put your business out there, what time do you get off work and what time does the daycare close?
I get off at like 2:20.
Okay.
So the daycare is closed at 6:00. I know y'all. I know it. Y'all, look, I laugh at myself. I know.
No judgment at all. No judgment at all. No judgment at all. So let me ask you this. Could you, because we're going to start out small. I'm not going to try to take you.
All right.
Could you like make a schedule where at least you starting off like 2 days a week where you give 2 hours for yourself? I don't care what you do. That could be working on your designs. That could be pouring some candles. That could be getting some scents together. That could be going for a walk by yourself without somebody saying, mommy, whatever you do, that's up to you. But could you promise yourself that at least 2 days out of the 5-day workday that you will give yourself 2 hours on those 2 days?
I don't want to promise myself that, but I will say I'm going to do my best to get those 2 hours. I'm going to do my best, you know, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just know a lot of women can relate to this. But how many girls do you have?
Three.
That's what I thought. Okay. So you have 3 girls. And you know that those 3 girls are watching mommy, right?
Oh, yes.
So we set the example for our children, whether it's by what we say or what we do, but more by what we do. They're watching us. So if they see mommy, she has to be with us all the time. Mommy doesn't get the chance to take care of her. She's wanting her to rush to pick us up and do all the things for us. But I never see mommy taking care of her. That's what I'm supposed to do when I grow up.
Right.
I'm supposed to take care of everybody else and not take care of me. Yeah.
Wow.
And you want to show them something differently. You know, as parents, our job is to train up our children, to instill things in our children. And one of the things I don't, and I'm not saying this just to you, I'm saying this to all of us, the audience as well. We don't want to instill in our girls, because I think a lot of what you're saying is from society, especially Black women. We have always done everything. We have to be strong. We have to take care of everybody else except us. And we wear that as a badge of honor while we're on the inside dying. So right. I just encourage you to really try to prioritize some time for yourself, whatever that looks like, you know, but try to take care of you too.
Okay, I got you, girl. Let me put the sticky note on here with my mind.
Okay, Miss Amy. Miss Amy, how do you take care of Amy?
So listening to Keisha talk is like looking at myself from a few years ago, to be honest. That was me who felt like, you know, I got to be the most on it wife. I got to be the most on it mom. Like, I can't miss no meals. I can't miss no school plays, no soccer games. I can't miss no wifely duties. Like, I was her. Like, she was me. And what happened, to be quite honest, since we keeping it real, I got fed up and I got tired. And I started resenting everything around me. Like, I really, really did. I felt so empty and used. And like, I just felt so, like, I just felt like life wasn't treating me the way I deserved to be treated. And then I had to realize that it was kind of my fault. And that was part of the reason why it was such a struggle for my husband when I started my business, because he was so used to all of my attention. And so now I got to explain to this man why I don't have time to cook for you 5 days a week anymore, because I got stuff going on. Like, whereas if I had kind of started with what I wanted to end up with, my mom always told me, start with what you can end up with. And when it came to that, I didn't take that advice at all, because I wanted to do everything. And I just felt like it was my place. And I felt like if I didn't do it, who was going to do it? But I do want to piggyback off of Mo and encourage you, Keisha, because I promise you, if you don't wash them clothes, somebody going to wash them. And I promise you, if you miss a couple of minutes of Peppa Pig, they're going to watch Peppa Pig anyway. And I just got to the point where I started realizing, okay, this was the wife that you went into it thinking that you had to be. Now you need to readjust your family to the wife that you can, like, practically be, basically, like you were saying, Mo. Like, I had to really sit down and, like, tell myself, like, we're not going to talk about the stuff you got to do. What is it as a wife and mom that you want to do? What are the things you want to be there for so that you don't resent everything? And it came down to, I don't want to cook every night. That's not me. I don't want to cook 5 days a week, 6 days a week. That is not me. Some days y'all going to be on your own. And those things make me happy, because it makes me feel like when I do cook, it's because I want to, not because I felt like I had to. So I just got fed up and I got empty and I just felt drained, and I had to reevaluate, stop being that cookie cutter wife that I thought I needed to be, because they are still surviving. And I do not cook every day. I don't do every load of laundry in here. I'm clean every day. Like, I'm going to get me. And that makes me happier for them. So I think they're for real.
Okay. Okay.
Keisha, you over there taking notes?
Yes, girl.
It's so hard. But I really feel you, though, Keisha, because, like, that's just how we're raised. And I mean, I can tell by our accents, we're all Southern women at that. So, like, even more so, like, not saying that anybody from any other part of the country is not raised, you know, to be caregivers and, you know, take care and be nurturing. But I know for a fact, like, us, we are raised that you're a nurturer. You're supposed to be there for your family. So then you get your own family and you got to write your own rules. And so I just started feeling more empowered. And, you know, now I tell people what kind of wife I'm going to be. I don't let people tell me what I should be.
What you should be, yeah. Ooh.
Girl, that was so doggone good. And when
I was all the way to the...
I was listening to you like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want you to crash like I did, because I wasn't very nice when I realized it.
I had to apologize. I have those days. I have those days when I'm like, look, I'm doing it, but I'm doing it bad.
Yes. And it's like, I don't want to be like that. Like, I don't want to love you out of obligation. Like, let me do it when I feel like it, so I have a good attitude about it. Like, that's, I understand. Like, I feel you so much.
Amy, when I say I related to everything you said, I related 100%. We have three children. The baby girl is two. She turned two in June. And my husband has been trying to get that baby for a long time, but it took me 10 years to finally be like, okay, I'm ready for a baby now. But for real, when I got pregnant with her, and even before I got pregnant, because we were trying to conceive her for almost a year. But in that whole time, I'm like, I was telling myself, I was giving myself a whole pep talk. Monique, you're not going to get lost in this baby. You're not going to get lost in being a mom. You know, you're going to have this baby when you're ready to have this baby. Like, I wanted a completely different experience from the experience I had with my last two. And I don't know, but when I got pregnant with her, something in my brain shifted. First, I was physically sick my whole pregnancy. I'm sick all throughout my pregnancy with all my kids. That's just how it is for me. Like, physically sick where some days I can't get out the bed. But once I got sick, when I started getting sick, once I got pregnant with her, I started buying paper plates and paper cups and trying to adjust where my husband and my older two kids would be able to fend for themselves while I was sick during this pregnancy. And I got so comfortable, I hired a cleaning lady because I'm a little, I don't like to call myself OCD, but I live somewhere in the neighborhood. I'm very clean. Like, I'm just, it's a little much. But I hired someone to come clean my house every 2 weeks because I could not do it. And I just can't stand a dirty home. So I started buying, like I said, paper plates, plastic cups, silverware, all of that disposable stuff. This lady was coming in my home every 2 weeks, cleaning. And I started to see how my life could be. I was so used to doing everything. I thought that was the way that it had to be. Literally, I did everything. My husband never cleaned our home. Like, he didn't wash laundry. And that was not on him. I don't ever want to put that on him. That was me, because I thought that's who I had to be. That's who I was supposed to be. And I did everything. But on the inside, I was dying. I'm looking in this mirror like, who is this woman looking back at me? I don't know her. Like, I thought I wore it as a badge of honor to do everything. I literally did everything. I spoiled my husband and I spoiled my children. But when I got pregnant with our baby, it was like a light bulb came on. Sis, you don't have to do everything. This man is going to eat. These children are going to eat. They're going to be okay. My husband coaches basketball. Both of our older kids play basketball. We were literally having something every other day, legit, like throughout the week. And every weekend, and I was showing up for everything. And I'm like, when am I going to get me in? But when I got pregnant with our daughter, the last baby, and the pandemic hit, it was giving me excuses. I didn't have to be at the games. Okay, I'm sick. I don't have to get out the bed. And then once I had her, I'm like, oh, she's a new baby. It's a pandemic. I don't have to take her around anybody. No, we're going to stay at home. I don't want her to get sick. But in the back of my mind, it was because I didn't want to go. So I started to see what life could really be about. I don't have to show up at every game. So I started sitting down having conversations with my older kids. Like, mommy loves you. You know, I'm supporting you. You know, anything you want to do, I'm here to support you. But I won't make it to this game, but I'll be at the game on next Saturday. And I started doing life the way I wanted to do life. I started choosing me and showing up for me. And I ain't gonna lie, it's beautiful. Like, it's legit. It's legit beautiful. I am happy. Like, when I go to the game, because I felt bad. I'm like, they're going to be thinking, like, why is Monique not at the game? You know, why the kid's mom not here? Or why is the coach's wife not here supporting him? I'm like, you know what? Forget people. Forget what they say and what they think. I want to be good. I want to like the woman that I look at in the mirror. I want to be happy in my life. And right now, in this moment, I can say, I am loving my life. I love my children. I love my husband. They know I support them, but I'm not going to support and love them where I have to sacrifice myself and my happiness. I can love y'all and love me too. You know, it's just about finding that balance and reteaching your children and your husband who you are now, as Amy said, because I am not Monique that I was when I got married at 21, 12 years ago. That girl, she been long and gone. Like, she been long and gone. I had to reintroduce who I am now to my husband and my children. No, don't get me wrong. That was an adjustment and it was a hard season, but we're here now and we're happy and we're in a much better place now than we have ever been in our marriage and raising these babies. But I had to really let go of what society said to me, what I saw growing up, you know, what I saw with the women around me in community. And I'm going to do what makes me happy. And when I'm happy, I'm a better wife. When I'm happy, I'm a better mom. And that benefits everybody. So, yeah, I relate.
Yes. When the woman of the house is happy, everybody happy. Yeah. When she's not happy, you. Everybody feel it.
Yeah.
I'm telling
For
you.
Real. For real. Okay, next question. And it's a good segue from what we were talking about. Do you ever, as a wife, feel pressure to be or do certain things in your role as a wife? And that could be from society, that could be from your family, and it can even be from yourself.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And it's because I maybe need to like limit my news feeds, like my social media feeds a little bit better. Ooh. Because I'll be quite honest with you. I like to debate. Like, I don't mind like healthy conversation. I don't get offended easily. So I kind of like to go back and forth about things I feel strongly about.
Yeah.
And so I find myself on a lot of these like relationship debate posts, like, oh, well, if she not doing this, then she not that. And oh, if he not doing this, he not that. Girl. And then I realize I'm the only one actually married in this whole argument. Mm. And so I really think that for me personally, my challenges come from like people outside my home. Like it's really never my husband, because as long as I'm like genuinely happy and like I'm pulling, you know, my weight based on the things that we have agreements on, yeah. Like he's fine. Like it's never more pressure from him. Like, oh, I feel like my wife should be doing that. He's never been that way with me. But I think that it's all kind of external, because, you know, you get on Facebook or even Instagram and it's battle of the sexes all day. Like all they do is argue about, you know, what a real woman is, what a real man is. And it's really easy to get caught up in that. So yeah. I think it's just about, for me, I definitely do feel that type of pressure, but I guess I just try to remember that most of the time those arguments don't come from people who really have a relevant stance on it.
Yeah. And one of the things I've learned, won't necessarily want to learn, but accept it, is nobody can really tell you how to be a wife to your husband, because nobody is married to your husband. We're all different. Your husband may want things that other husbands don't want. Your husband may be okay with you not cooking dinner 5 days out the week, where some husbands, they just want a home-cooked meal 5 days out
right.
the week. So it's like, what does my man want? You know, I'm not going to get caught up with y'all on Facebook going back and forth on what a woman or a wife should or should not be doing. But let me have a conversation with my man and see what he likes, what he desires, what would benefit the both of us in our home. Mm-hmm. Keisha, what about you?
I don't think, like, my husband doesn't pressure me. He kind of just let me, I guess, do my own thing. But I put that pressure on myself.
Yeah. A lot of us do.
I put it on myself. So he just kind of let me just, if she cook, she cook. If she don't, she don't. But he'll do it anyway. He'll cook. He knows how to cook. So if I don't cook, he'll be like, what you want to eat? Or we'll be eating today. And then he'll just go in and cook. So it's kind of like, if I'm slacking or if I'm lacking that day, he'll pick up. He'll come back in, you know, and help out.
Okay, so for you, yourself, you're the one putting the pressure on you. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you. Okay, what is your top three most important things in your marriage? Like for you personally, like what are your top three things that you need in your marriage?
For me, and this is Keisha, I would say the top three important things, I would say communication is number one. Like, I don't care what we may be feeling like, you know, I have grown to love having those hard conversations. So communication would be one for me. Two is, like, I just be thirsty for this quality time. Yeah. So that's one for me. And I would say number three would be, and I hate to say it's the last thing, but trust. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it's not even having anything to do with, like,
infidelity.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, trust me to be, you know, the best version for you and for myself. You know what I'm saying? And trust that, you know, if one day, you know, God forbid you lose your job, like, trust that I could pick up this slack and hold the house down. So those would be my top three.
Gotcha. Thank you, ma'am.
So for me, this is Amy. I would say quality time is a very big deal for me.
Yeah.
Because I think with how busy everyone is, the people that you choose to make time for, like, it's just the most honest way to show, like, who's the most important to you. So I feel like when you make time for your spouse, it's just showing them that you're a priority. And so that's something that I need. Communication is really, really big for me too. And more importantly, straightforward communication. I don't like beating around the bush about things, like, tell me what it is and what it's not, and then let me deal with it. Like, I don't like, don't try to spare my feelings, but then you're over there like feeling some type of way. Like, just tell me what it is and let me deal with it.
Yeah.
I can handle it. And then I think the last thing is just, you gotta work with me. Like, and I am not naive. I'm not the easiest person to be with because I'm always here. I'm always there. I'm always, you know, I'm like a ping pong ball. Okay. Like, I started this month saying I was not going out to do like any events. I've been to 3 already this month. That is me. That is my life. I change my mind a lot. I say I'm not going, and an hour later I'm dressed and I'm gone. Like, that, I need somebody to be patient with me and to understand my personality. So I would say, you know, just patience, communication, and quality time.
Okay. Things are good. Okay. What's your thoughts on date night? Is it important?
Oh, they are essential. I got to have them.
Okay.
How
often do you and your husband usually go on date nights, Amy?
It varies, but at least once a month.
Okay.
At least once a month. Like, the Grants, like, one thing we do have in common is that we do like to get dressed and go to events. Like, even if it's not like, oh, we're going to hit this club, they are essential for me. I still like to get cute. I still like to be dated and courted and, you know,
show all of
me.
That.
Yeah, I like all of that.
Okay, Keisha, I know how important this is to you because you kind of talked about this in the beginning, but how do you feel about date night?
I think it's very important to keep, you know, you and your spouse like connected, because, you know, as time does go by, like, you know, you all like change, you know, things change. So you want to stay, you want to at least take that time out to stay connected, or, you know, if it's a disconnect, then, you know, take that time out and spend time with each other just to reconnect and see what it is that, what's new about this person, or, you know, just the time just to get to know that person, even though you say we say we know our husbands, you know what I'm saying, we know them, but when we sit down, you be like, that, oh, I ain't even know you ain't like Tuna, or, you know, I ain't even know that, you know.
Yes.
It's just that time to, you know, just staying connected.
I love it. Let me ask you, Keisha, what is your age ranges for your children?
Oh, okay. So Cameron is 15, Makai is 11, Liv is 4, and Nevaeh is 3.
Okay. Have you ever talked about with your husband, or are you even open to it? Because I have people in my life who are not open to it, but are you guys open to a babysitter coming to the house, keeping the kids?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
That would be perfect, because like they in their own zone. They know where I can go get me a snack if I want to. If I want to take a nap, just I can go get in the bed. So yeah.
Okay. So have you ever thought about having someone coming in like once a month so you guys can go on a date?
I haven't thought about it. Like, well, I'm lying. I thought about it, but I was like, who? How would I even begin this process?
Okay. Okay. After this tonight, or no later than tomorrow, I'm going to send you 2 companies that we have personally used that do background checks and all of that good jazz. And we have had great experience. So I'm going to send you that information.
think about wanting to start with the C.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Just from personal experience, because we have used it, because that was, I told you, my mindset completely changed when I got pregnant with the baby. I was like, day nights are not going to stop. We're not going to lose one another, because what happens, a lot of dates get pushed off when you have these babies. Yeah. Yes. And next thing you know, it's been months and you ain't even hung out with your boo. So we hired a babysitter as soon as I had the baby, but we didn't bring the babysitter in as soon as I had her, but I hired one. Mm-hmm. And I hung out with her for a few months while I was at home to get comfortable with her being here. And we did that. Ever since, my mom now is able, because I'm like you, I didn't have a lot of people here. My mom lived in but she moved back in the last year, so she helps out a lot now. But I didn't use that as an, or let me not say use, I didn't let that be an excuse to not be able to go on dates with my husband. We started using these babysitting companies, girl, and you know, got with it.
Okay. Yeah, they have housekeepers too.
Oh yes, ma'am. Yes,
ma'am. No, I definitely thought about that.
Yeah, but like I said, me and Amy ain't gonna take you too fast. We just need to get you a sitter at least once a month.
Oh, so look, y'all just don't know what y'all are doing for me right now. So go ahead.
Yes, and I do think, I'm sorry, Mo. I just want to tell you, I do think that there is a season too. Like, your babies are not always gonna be small, so. Mm-hmm. If that's the way you are when they're small, then, you know, you got a couple more years and they'll be independent. So don't feel sad like you're missing too much. They won't always be little.
I know.
And then even for those, this is not just for you, Keisha, but for those who may be listening, who may not be comfortable with hiring a babysitter when you have those little children that's not, you know, that you're not at a place where you can trust other people because your kids can't talk or whatever, you know, if something was to happen, we can still make adjustments in those seasons. Even if we're not able to leave our kids physically, we can do different things. We could put the kids on a schedule where they go to bed at a certain time. We could set up a picnic in our living room. We can play some music and dance with one another. We can go sit out on the porch and drink together. There's other things we can do to still have that one-on-one time with our partner. If we can't physically get away, it's just about being creative about doing it, you know, making the decision and being intentional. This is going to be me and your time to connect until we get to a place where we can have a babysitter or our kids are old enough or we have the support, but just making those adjustments in those, because we talked about transitions earlier and this is a transition. So just being able to kind of get creative and make those adjustments as needed. Oh, okay. Do you initiate sex? I thought that would be a great segue to go from, you know, date night to now let's get it on and pop in. Okay, do you initiate sex? What do you think about it?
Drink to that.
Right. Well, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do as well.
Okay.
Probably a little too much.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, let me ask y'all this. Have you always initiated sex in your marriage?
No. I used to be ashamed because of, like, I went about my body weight. So yeah. I had to get comfortable in my own skin because I was like, what if you don't like this extra punch I got or, you know, these love handles I got in there. But yeah. I had to get comfortable. So now it's like, ooh, ain't never a little bit more love out.
I love it. What about you, Amy? Have you always?
No, not always. But okay. It was because I think over time I finally realized that he did like it when I did initiate it. And then I was like, oh, okay, you like this. I should be doing this. Okay. So I just kind of, I don't know. I feel like I was kind of just waiting on him a lot. And like that left me frustrated sometimes because he didn't always want to initiate it, but we didn't have that communication. So I didn't know. I felt like, and this might be, you know, kind of the way women are too. We feel like we have to wait for someone to make the first move, even our husbands. And so I did that for years. And then he finally was like, you know, you can do it too. Like, you can let me know when you're feeling some type of way as well. And I'm like, oh, so that's a good thing. And he's like, yeah.
This is so good, and I'm asking you guys this because this is a big thing in marriage. Because I'm like you, I didn't know that women initiate sex. You know, I didn't know that was a thing. We all of us, all three of us, got married young, so I'm sure we went into our marriages assuming a lot of things and not knowing a lot of things. And that was one of those things. Oh, I thought the man is supposed to initiate sex. You know, that makes him feel like a man, but that's why communication in marriage is so important. And each partner is different. But my husband had to straight up tell me, like, no, like, I feel, especially if I'm trying to initiate sex and you don't feel like it, or you're not in the mood, or you're tired, for me, that feels like rejection. But when you initiate, that makes me feel like you want me, you desire me, and I want to be desired too. And I'm like, oh, you put it to me like that, I got you. So yeah, let's get it on the property, you know. So yeah, so that's why I'm asking, is because I know there are a lot of women who probably on the other side of it is like, initiate sex, ooh, you know.
Getting wild.
Our men and our husbands want to be desired as well too. So yeah,
thanks.
Yeah,
okay. What things do you need from your husband? And it's so funny because I was preparing these questions because me and my husband, we had an impromptu date today. I'm not even going to get into that, but we had an amazing time. Just know that. And I was like, you know what? I didn't enjoy you so much. Let me let you look at these questions that I'm going to be giving to the ladies tonight. And he said that the men would love to hear this question. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys, what things do you need from your husband throughout the day for you to want to have sex at the end of the night? Like, what can he do throughout the day to have you hot and ready to go at the end of the night?
Pick the kids up. Go! I'm a mom.
Okay.
Like, I just go to one day, like, y'all don't know, I get in my car, and I just be fantasizing about, what if I could just one day just go straight home from work,
Girl.
I have to do, it's just not have to do absolutely nothing, not nothing, not have to pick up a piece of paper, I have to do nothing. And then by the time, you know, it's time, it's late at night, it's time, I got all the energy in the world.
Fellas, if you are listening, I hope you heard Keisha loud and clear. That is a lot of us as women and wives, that is our foreplay. You think we want you to talk dirty, and don't get me wrong, we like you to talk dirty too, but let me tell you some real foreplay. You pick up these children and we ain't got to do nothing.
Listen, acts of service will get you far with me.
Acts of service, man,
that is like access granted with me, because there's so much to do, and when you're done with work, it's still not over. And so I think a lot of times we just feel like they don't get it a lot. Like, they don't understand all the little things we do that add up to how tired we are. Like, you know, they see like the big picture, like, oh, you go to work, I go to work. Yeah, you go to work and I also grocery shop and a household shop, and, you know, the soap you bathe with, I go get that. And, you know, they don't see all the little things. Yeah. So at the little inkling that I feel like you understand and can put into perspective the little things I do, I'm ready. Like, just the you understanding that it's a lot, and that if you could take some of that off my plate, I'll be more available for that.
Yes. Because if I got to do all of that and by the end of the day satisfy you, I can't give you my best at nothing. Mm-mm. I don't even want, like, I'm not even interested in nothing by the end of the day. Like, I just want to sleep.
Now it feels like another job. Now it feels like just something else to do.
Duty,
like,
sex. Yes. Duty, yes. Sex.
I don't like duty sex. Like, me either. I have to, I'm over here half asleep, but I have to to please my husband. I don't like I don't like it like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they don't like it like that either. So fellas, take some stuff off your wife. Whatever you know what your wife is doing throughout the day. You know if she's doing a grocery shopping or picking up the kids from daycare or has to cook dinner or wash clothes or go to some open house or PTA meeting, or you know what this woman do. Yes. Help her help you by helping her take some of the things off her plate. And I promise you, at the end of the night, she ready. She gonna be ready. Okay, ladies. Do you think women enjoy sex as much as men in marriage?
For me, sometimes more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Let me ask y'all this, because I enjoy sex too. Do you think society is set up for women in marriage to enjoy sex as much as husbands? Or do you think they portray it as you should only be pleasing your man?
They definitely paint it like almost a threat. Like, if you don't do this, you're going to lose him. Somebody will take him. What you don't do, somebody else will do. Like, I told y'all, like, I'd be on this social media stuff. So I'd be like, I see it all. And I'm like, well, mine ain't going nowhere. But yeah, like, there's definitely a lot of pressure on us to, you know, be like appearance wise, like Keisha was talking about, like just the insecurities with our bodies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that leads up to sex, like it's most of the pressure is put on us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keisha, what you think?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, because it's already enough, you know, you want to keep yourself looking attracted to your husband. Then turn around, it's like, I'm not going to lie, every day I don't want to, you know, sex is not an everyday thing for me. I enjoy, you know, only when, you know, like our bodies have to be aligned, like, I don't know, aligned that day, like, it got to match for me, you know what I'm saying? We got to both be ready for it. I don't want to be forced or nothing like that. But yeah, society does put a lot on it. Like, if you don't do it, girl, somebody else will. You married, you supposed to do this. This is what you gotta do, you know. Yeah.
Do you guys think that men feel those same pressures as we do when it comes to sex? Like, you need to please your wife, you need to make sure she's satisfied, you need to make sure she's enjoying sex. Do you think they hear any of that?
No.
All of us shaking our head. No.
I can't name one platform that I see that's like, yeah, how to please your woman. Like, it's kind of like, oh, if you can please her along the way, brownie points. But there's no real keeping score when it comes to our pleasure that I can see.
Yeah. All right.
It's more pressure on the women than it is the men.
Absolutely. For real. For real. And that's why I'm asking you this. And that's why we're having this conversation. Because I know some of my fellas are listening and they're like, ooh, am I pleasing my wife? You know, is she enjoying sex? I was looking at statistics on a podcast episode I was working on about how low the statistics are for women, especially in marriages. And that's why I'm asking you guys as wives, because they said, you know, they were talking about how low the statistics are for wives in marriage who have an orgasm from every time they have sex with their partner. And it's really low and it's really sad. And it was even showing the statistics on women who have never had an orgasm from sex with their husband. And it just, it makes me sad, because there are a lot of wives in marriages who have been taught this, because I don't know if you guys know, but they used to have the purity culture where they taught, you know, they taught, especially it was forced on women or pushed on women to stay virgins, you know, not give yourself away, not dress too sexual, you know, don't put yourselves in this predicament where you make men want you and all this stuff. But it was never taught to men. It was always pushed on women. So you telling me sex is bad, you're telling me that I should not have sex or desire sex. And then now I get married and you expect that switch to flip to now sex is good and I'm supposed to desire it and be able to please my husband. A lot of women go into their marriages because of this and because of society, and they don't enjoy sex, and they think this is how marriage is supposed to be, but it's not. God created sex for both people, the husband and the wife, to enjoy sex and find pleasure in sex. And I think we just have to get to a place where we are able to communicate. Man, it always goes back to communication, but where we're able to talk to our spouse and let them know, I like this, you know, I like when you do that. I don't like that. You know, I don't like it all rough and heavy, you know, sometimes, but I like it this way. And I like when you do this, and we just have to be honest and get to a place where we're comfortable really sharing with our partners on what we enjoy so that we both are pleased when it comes to sex.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest, it took me a long time to get to a place where I said what I really wanted. Because I didn't know you say that. I didn't know. I didn't know I could, you know, be free on what pleases me and share with my husband. Or because I always thought about his ego. Like, if I say I don't like this, how is he going to feel? You know, what is he going to think? But I want to enjoy sex, too. You know, it ain't just about the men or the husband, but it's about both of us being able to connect with one another in that way. So, yeah. Okay, ladies, when you guys got married, even before you got married, did both of your families support you in getting married? Because you guys got married at a young age. Was there a lot of support from both sides of the family?
I don't know. I think they just kind of felt like we were kind of obnoxious about it too. Like, we were young and just in love, and we were just very like in your face about it. And so I think everybody was kind of like waiting for us to kind of burst that bubble. Like, they didn't really know if it was something that was sustainable or was this just young love. And so I won't say that they were unsupportive. I will not go on record and say that our families were unsupportive. I can say that they were apprehensive, very hesitant, and very protective of both of us. Gotcha. And so I don't really know that I would be much different with mine, to be honest. Because we were young and we didn't have it together. Quite frankly, we were broke.
Yeah.
We didn't have it all together. We had our son to take care of. And so more than anything, I think they just wanted us to think logically. But we just knew that, you know, whether we got married next year or 10 years later, like, we always knew we would be together. So we weren't really worried about all of that. And I think they wanted us to think more along those lines.
Got you. Keisha, what about you?
Both families were supportive for me, especially my grandma-in-law. She was like, because my husband and I, we moved in together before we got married. So she was like, y'all don't get out of there. Y'all need to be shaking. Y'all need to be there. But yeah, go ahead and get married. They want y'all to get all y'all blessings. So I was like, okay, you know. So they were very, you know, our families were very supportive of us, even though we were young. You know, we didn't have anybody just saying, "Oh, y'all too young. Y'all shouldn't. Y'all got a whole life ahead of you." They was like, "Go for it."
That's good. Okay, so how is from today, how is your relationship with each other's in-laws? Like, how's your relationship with your in-laws? How's your husband's relationship with his in-laws, your family?
At first, we started out quite shaky at first.
Okay. Both sides?
Over time. For me and my in-laws, husband's family, you know, his mom, his grandma, we started out kind of, you know, it was shaky at first. But, you know, I think we all had to just learn each other and understand each other, even though, you know, we've been around each other, but we just never had that. I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things that took time. Like, it's going to take time, you know. We all had to grow on each other. But right now, like, his grandma, I love her as if she was my own grandma. Like, that's just how that's just how much love we all have for each other right now. But, you know, he gets along with my family like just fine. Like, we all in this thing together. We all family. So everybody good on both sides.
I can say that I like how it is on both sides. I know that for me with my in-laws, like, it took a while. Definitely. And I think, like, my parents are older, his parents are younger. Mm-hmm. So there's just a different dynamic. My side of the family is very yes ma'am, no ma'am. his side of the family is like, oh, you want to come have a drink? Like, it's just very different. But I started just kind of embracing that I can kind of let my hair down and be loose with my in-laws. And like, honestly, now, like, my mother-in-law is one of my best friends in the whole world. Like, that's my girl. And it is because she, you know, she's a little bit closer in age. She's younger in comparison to my mom. So things that my mom might think is a little bit too loose and a little bit too out there, my mother-in-law is with it, you know? So that's my girl. So I think that over time, the things that we used to, like, you know, that were so different about both sides, like, now we just kind of embrace it. Like, I love that I have a mother-in-law I can go out and have drinks with, but that's my family. So there's a different vibe. And then for him with my parents, like, he can go have a beer with my daddy, and that means a lot to me. And with my mama, like, he just has, like, the utmost respect for her, even with, you know, how rigid and strict she can be. That's just how she is. And I like that he, even though his mother is nothing like that, he knows and understands and respects that about my mama. So I think it's cool.
That's awesome. I love that you guys both have great relationships with your in-laws, and for your husband to have great relationships with your parents as well. Okay, what is your love language? To be honest, because I've been listening to you ladies this whole night, I think I probably know what your love language is, but I want you guys to kind of talk about it. What's your love language? What makes you feel loved?
I like, of course, acts of service, me. And I just like, I like random gifts. Like, just be random. Like, surprise me with some random flowers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just like, let me come home and just see, like, you can buy me an outfit or something on the bed.
Okay, outfit on the bed.
Right.
Wow. Mine are the exact same.
You see in the movie, like.
Mine are actually the exact same as Keisha's.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Acts of service, number one, and gifts, number two.
You guys are so much alike.
My third one was, I think, touch.
Yeah.
Physical touch.
Number three.
Yes. Yeah. I think it was almost tied with gifts. So I like to say that I have three. And if you can touch on one of those, you're getting in there somewhere. But yeah, Keisha, we got a lot in common.
Yeah, I say, because I'm like, I'm like, touch me. You know? Okay.
And I love you.
I knew you guys, number one was going to be acts of service. I already knew it just from all the stuff y'all have been saying tonight. I already knew it. Okay, ladies, as we prepare to close out, I'm actually sad. I have enjoyed this. I feel like I am talking to my girlfriends, like, right now. We just having a girl talk. I love this, y'all. I legit love
it. I have really enjoyed it. It has been so fun.
We had a time tonight, ladies.
So thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on this podcast episode for our Wives Night In. I have thoroughly enjoyed you, ladies. My last question, and after we do the last question, I would love for you guys to let my guests know where they can find you. If you could give them your social media platform or your website, all of the things that you are doing, let them know about you and where they can find you. My last question is, what advice would you give to your just married self? So knowing who you are now, the woman who you are now, what advice would you give to yourself, to that young girl who was about to get married and say, I do?
For me, and this is Amy, this is something I'll still remind myself. Just stay firm, because he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
And I think I would tell my younger self that. Just stay firm. He's not going anywhere. Like, stop with the fear of worrying about, you know, what's going to happen if you speak up, or what's going to happen if you put your foot down. Like, absolutely nothing. You're going to adjust. Y'all are going to have your little spat, and then you're going to move on. So I would just say, stay firm. If that's your husband, he's not going anywhere, and you don't have to live with that type of fear.
That's good, girl. Keisha, what are you saying to that young woman at the altar getting ready to say, I do?
I would say, you know, stay true to yourself. Just this is a journey. This is a whole journey. So expect to have, you know, those good days and those, you know, those, I would say, I'm not going to say bad days, but those not so good days. But stay the course, you know, and talk and talk some more, you know, that way, because understanding is everything.
Ladies, this was so good. This was so good. Okay. Amy, how can the people find you in all of the things that Amy is doing?
Okay, respectfully, I'm everywhere. So listen, respectfully, I'm everywhere. It's Queen Talk Sophisticated Events.
Okay.
And you can Google that. We're on Facebook. I'm on TikTok making weird videos. Don't judge me. I'm getting myself together over there.
I'm with you, honey. I'm with you.
I'm just putting stuff out there, seeing what sticks. So don't even, just if you see me on there, just mind your business. I'm getting there. Instagram, I'm on there too. Yeah, I'm out here. I'm an event and wedding planner. And I also, you know, I'm like a miniature socialite too. So I like do stuff. I be outside. Just link up with me.
Yes, I'm here for it. Keisha, how can the people find you?
I am on Facebook at Markeisha Williams, and I'm on Instagram, Markeisha B. I'm still learning how to do TikTok, y'all, so I ain't going to put that
on. I think all of the people in our age bracket, 30 and up, is still learning.
I'm still learning it, so once I get that together, I'll put it in the group.
Okay.
OMG, OMG. Well, ladies, I hate to say it, but it's time for us to go. I have enjoyed you. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on and have this talk tonight. And I love the fact that you guys were completely open and vulnerable and you didn't hold back. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. For my listeners, I hope you guys have enjoyed these beautiful women on tonight. Go follow them. Go support them, all of their businesses and endeavors that they are doing. And also, these two ladies who have joined me tonight, they are on our private Facebook group, Dating, Engage, and Married Objectives. So if you are not already, come join us over there on Facebook. We would love to have you. And remember, I love you, but God loves you so much more. I'll see you guys next week. Bye. I hope you guys have enjoyed. Follow me on Facebook at Demo with Mo. If you have any questions you would like answered here live on my podcast, email them to me at demowithmo@gmail.com. That's demowithmo@gmail.com.